I'm currently reading a book written by a Jungian analyst. Most of you will probably have heard of Carl Jung, probably the most renowned psychoanalyst of the 20th century. He parted ways with Sigmund Freud, sort of took psychology and become a pioneer in the work, really. One of the chapters of the book that I'm reading goes into depth into something called active imagination. Essentially, active imagination is a technique to go into a dialogue with the unconscious parts of our own psychology, the parts that are hidden or suppressed within us. We need to be able to, in order for this to happen, this active imagination, we need to be able to still our conscious minds so that the unconscious parts of us can rise and we can become aware of the energies that come up. So without experience in meditation, prayer or any other form of sacred ritual, it may be quite difficult to begin with. You'll probably need to do some practice, but don't let that stop you or put you off the work, because it can have great benefits, as long with a few pitfalls as well, but the benefits outweigh those. So our unconscious is limitless, infinite, and is like, I like to call it a cosmic symphony, all in tune and completely infinite. We've got absolutely everything within us to experience, so that includes the good, the bad, the ugly. None of it is to be feared, but it needs to be embraced, integrated into more of an holistic, wholesome reality. I mean, it's easy for me to stand here and say that when we are face to face with our own psychic darkness, you know, when you have a dark night of the soul, but either way, it's still true. So after we've grasped the technique, we give these energies shapes and names to bring them into our conscious awareness. It sort of creates like a subject object. So as you're listening to this, there's two of us, like a duality. So if you put shapes and names onto these things, these energies, it creates that duality, even though it's in your own psyche. So for example, I have urges like of impatience, particularly with technology. Like if I can't get, for example, a blog post or a video uploaded quickly, I get impatient with things, and that plays out in other scenarios as well, but technology in particular. And that energy within me, I've named Netti, N-E-T-I, and it looks like a robotic fly. I think that's probably the best way to put it. And I often dialogue with him a few hours after an episode of impatience and discuss that whole situation, and the more I discuss it, the more the energy dies down. It doesn't go, but it dies down. So that's an example of how I use it and what I've done in the past to deal with one aspect of my unconscious. So half the centuries, humans have like created spiritual and religious archetypes as an outer manifestation of their inner subjective realities. That's how we end up with Egyptian and Greek gods and goddesses and shamanic archetypes and all that good stuff. And it's important as well to note that active imagination is not just for negative energies. If you've listened to my last episode, you'll know that I said that human beings are more fearful of their own greatness than their inferiority. So speaking to the enlightened parts within us, they're still unconscious, and that's as important, if not more so important, than the perceived negative sides of our unconscious. So the active part of active imagination is you actually taking part in a dialogue. You're actually speaking to it. It isn't a monologue with you listening to the energies within yourself. That is something like completely different. That isn't active imagination. So you get people who will ask, or you might be asking, aren't we just making it up in our mind? you know, talking to ourselves. Well, yeah, you are talking with the hidden and suppressed part of yourself, the different levels and layers of what we call I. That which is hidden away from your conscious mind that has gone unlived in your life, potentially for decades. So yes, are you making up? The reality is that you can't make anything up that isn't in your psyche anyway. So yes, you're making it up, but it's also incredibly serious. It's a yes and no. Your imagination is arguably more real than what we perceive to be the objective world anyway. Objectivity is known through our biases and through separation of everything. Imagination, it has no separation. It is the content of your mind. It's everythingness within the mind. And fundamentally, you're living in a dream anyway, and the all is mind. If you've studied the Kabbalion or the Hermetic principles, that is one of the seven principles of Hermeticism, is that the all is mind. So that fits this Jungian work properly, really. And what are the risks? Well, if you struggle with things like dissociation disorders, or multiple personality, I think that used to be called, or things similar to that, then it might be worthwhile having someone experienced to be able to just speak to. You are essentially going into what the ancient Greeks called Hades, the underworld. That was their archetype, if you like. And it can be very unpleasant to face hidden parts of you, both positive and negative, because what you thought you were gets not destroyed as such, but built upon. You get a hammer to it and knock it about a bit, so it's very unpleasant. Also, after like doing this type of work, it's not very wise to act in the objective world based on the conversations you have with the other parts of yourself. So, you know, do 20, 30 minutes a day and write down the conversation as it's actually happening. That's what I'd recommend doing. It externalises it and gets it out of you onto a piece of paper or computer or whatever. The more you do this and the more experience you get with it, the energy that's within you will sort of die down, and you'll be able to integrate the emotion and the energy, the archetype, into your day-to-day existence. But if you don't do that properly and you sort of act out on the conversation, you can just do rash things. This is why you need like a healthy ego, really, to be doing the work. Some significant work, you need a healthy ego and not a underdeveloped ego. And this is why as well, if you have got like personality disorders or something, to make sure that you have someone on hand to help you out if you're struggling, or just don't do it anyway. This is one of the benefits of me not having been tied down to academia and having degrees left, right and centre, because I can sort of say some of these things that other people won't say. But I'm not here, I'm not a therapist, so not a therapist, not a psychologist or anything like that, so you know, take it with a pinch of salt if you like, or study it a bit more before you do anything. So, you know, I hope I explained that well enough for you to understand. I find it quite difficult to speak of non-linear subjects such as this in linear terms, such as words. So I am working on it. Maybe I need to do some active imagination work on it. Check out projectsovereign.org. I'm uploading quite a few articles at the moment because I'm in quite a creative state, so check those out. I've just released my course, How to Escape Wage Slavery. That's free, so please check that out. It's the first time I've put something together like that, so I do appreciate feedback. I'm going to be making a few more. They will be better than that, the filming and editing and whatnot, but this was a good one just to get out there and put my work out. So please take a look. Let me know what you think. Thanks for listening. Let's catch up soon.